Welcome back to episode 4 of the Middle to Nowhere podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Blompier. In today's episode, I'd like to share a few things that I learned recently about respecting others' emotional boundaries, the topic of the fear of the unknown, and how it leads to conflict in relationships, and how it stemmed from the fear of abandonment. And then also how having a driving inner need to help others can get in the way of actually helping them and simply loving them. Before we begin, I just wanted to share that I'm just about to leave my house to go do a silent retreat for the rest of the week at a Trappist monk monastery just down the road from us here in Charleston called Mepkin Abbey. It'll be roughly 4 days spent in silence. The primary purpose of silent retreats are usually to disconnect from everyday distractions, quiet the mind, and deepen one's meditation or spiritual practice. And I know what some of you are thinking, that sounds boring. And yeah, to be completely honest, I'm right there with you. But I do like to push myself outside of my personal boundaries from time to time, so hopefully it will be an insightful experience for me. And I won't be bringing my phone, so it will be just a lot of journaling, meditation, and walking around the gardens and the grounds they have there at the Abbey. And as a card-carrying extrovert who loves to talk, it's going to be interesting. So I'm hoping to get a chance to really still my mind and simply detox from all of the phone and TV screen time. But I'll definitely be excited to share with you all how it went, probably on the next episode. Okay, so to start us off, a story of a romantic evening gone awry. So just a few days ago, my wife Christy and I got into a fight that came out of nowhere. It involved a bit of yelling, but ended up becoming the turning point for me truly understanding some big flaws in my thinking that have caused me a good bit of pain in my life with my relationship with her, as well as instances with other friends, family members, and even in my past relationships. The night started off as a sweet romantic evening. I had arranged my office in a makeshift movie theater of sorts. I had created a palette for us on the floor of my office and hooked my laptop to a movie projector. I had it shining on a blank spot on the wall. We watched Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom. I had never seen it before, and it was the perfect sweet and lighthearted film for our first impromptu makeshift home theater movie night. We each ate our favorite snacks and laughed and interacted throughout the film. Afterwards, I wanted us to have a drink out on the screen porch where we can sit with our four cats and take advantage of the cooler summer night air. With Christy and the kitties waiting on the porch, I poured two Fernet Brancas, neat. Being inspired by the witty, deadpan humor of the movie, I decided to make a dramatic entrance to the front porch with our beverages in eclectic, antique-looking shot glasses, which were balanced on a fancy looking three-tiered cutting board that is made for serving cheese. All this was complete with a candle and old-timey string music being played from my phone that was in my pocket. It was a funny yet impressive display with all of its audio and visual senses being hit. I took very careful steps to make sure the shot glasses would not slip on the smooth wood, as they could easily slide around. As I was just about to put it down on the table, Christy mentioned that the ceiling fan on the porch might put out the candle. I abandoned my landing and plotted a last-minute course to flick off the porch light. However, the sudden change in direction caused one of the shot glasses to get up just enough steam to slide right off, crash landing onto our hardwood floors. With glass shards and alcohol all over, I heard a likeness of commentators for a gymnast competition going off in my head. Ouch, you hate to see an almost perfect routine crash on the landing. What a shame. He almost had gold. Could have had it all. We quickly shifted into pit crew mode to clean it all up. After we cleaned up the mess, She went to wash her hands and go to the bathroom. Even though the glass was shattered, my silly Wes Anderson-inspired swagger had remained intact. Didn't want to have this break my confidence, so I used her brief absence to try and course correct by putting on a large sun hat of hers and setting the scene for her to come back to, holding my drink in an overly self-important way, trying to look as ridiculous as possible. When she sat down, I also had brought a fishing-style hat for her to wear so that she could play along. However, when I suggested that she put on the hat to play along, she declined. Trying to stay aboard the let's be silly and keep playing pretend express train, I redirected the track to suggest that she should go find a scarf or something else if she didn't like putting the hat on. I don't want to wear the hat right now, she said. Come on, it's fun. Just pick anything, I responded, which was met with, I really don't want to. Why do I have to wear something? Now, I could have simply just said, okay, no worries. Is everything okay? But that would have been way too easy. I said, I don't understand why you can't just play along. I just don't want to. Why can't I just be? Well, it's just that we were in a fun and silly mood earlier, and now all of a sudden you're not. Is it because I broke the shot glass? Because I really didn't mean to. No, it's just simply, I don't like wearing the hat or anything else. Can we just move on? To which I said, I can tell you're no longer in a fun mood and I just want to understand what happened. You clearly had some sort of response to the glass breaking and are mad at me or something, and I just want to understand why. Can you please just drop it? I don't want to keep talking about this, and I want to just have a normal and chill hangout on the porch with the cats. I responded, I don't understand how it's so hard for you to not just play along. If I'm really wanting us to just play and be silly and want us to wear little outfits or whatever, how hard is it for you to just put something on? Are you feeling so bad all of a sudden that putting on some sort of hat or garment is too much? I was just trying to be intentional to make it more fun. If it's something that I clearly wanted, why is it that hard? She responded, why do I have to appease you? What about me not wanting to do it? Why would you force me to wear the hat when I told you I don't want to? I said, of course I can't force you to wear the hat, Christy. What am I going to do? Hold it on your head? That's ridiculous. It just seems like your need to say no is more important than just playing along in some silly game I'm trying to play with you and have fun with you. I don't know what happened. And it kind of went on and on. She was like, why are you talking to me like this? It's really simple, Taylor. Just stop pushing me. That's all. I said, why can't I say that? I'm not verbally abusing you. I'm just pointing something out. It feels like something was triggered in you when I broke the glass, and I'm honestly just wanting to understand what happened. Not to make you a bad person or point out a flaw, but because I love you and I just want to understand you. Taylor, there's nothing more to it. I don't want to look into it. Not everything needs to be put under the microscope. I said, well, there's clearly something there, and I think that we're very close to uncovering it. Like, wouldn't you want to know what that thing is? No, Taylor, I don't want to look into it, okay? And then I said, it's clearly something because you're now yelling at me. Do you not see how emotionally dysregulated you are? Stop digging. I don't want to dig further. Christy, you are so smart and capable. I know you can handle us talking about this. You're in a safer environment. Nothing bad is going to happen. I'm going to have to leave this conversation if you don't stop talking. Just stop. Fine. I was heated as well and went and got in bed while she was on the couch in the living room. I felt like I was in the right by what I said. I genuinely did, as silly as that may sound to some of you. I felt like I was standing my ground to try and understand her. If only she would have allowed us to dig further, we would have understood what exactly in her had been triggered, I thought to myself. But with my newfound ability to question my own sense of reality, I decided to check my math and go ask ChatGPT the following. Hey, ChatGPT, quick question. If I push my wife to talk more deeply into a topic and she tells me to stop talking about it, but I want to dig deeper to understand what the emotional trigger is that's happening, am I in the wrong for continuing to ask about it? It seems like she doesn't trust me enough to dig further when she shuts me down. ChatGPT quickly spit out the following response. Navigating conversations about emotionally charged topics can be challenging, and it's important to balance your desire to understand with respect to your wife's boundaries. Here are some key considerations. 1. Respect your boundaries. If your wife explicitly asks you to stop talking about a certain topic, it is crucial to respect her wishes. Continuing to press the issue can make her feel disrespected and potentially unsafe in the conversation. 2. Timing and approach. Sometimes the issue may not be the topic itself, but the timing or the approach. If she's not ready to talk about it in the moment, give her some space. Let her know that you're open to discussing it whenever she feels comfortable. And this list goes on to say 3, trust and safety, 4, expressing your intentions and communicating intentions clearly and gently, 5, alternate support, sometimes a topic may be too sensitive, 6, self-reflection, consider why it's important for you to go deeper at the moment, yada, yada. And so as I was reading this with my mouth somewhat open, I internally responded in the moment, oh crap, I've made a huge mistake. Respecting her boundaries is the foundation of which her trust in me is built on. And I just took a jackhammer to it by not respecting her wishes for me to stop pushing her, even though she specifically asked me not to, pleaded with me to stop. So after I read this, I immediately walked into the living room and told her what I realized, and I sincerely apologized for what I had done. I then tried to express to her how I thought I was doing the right thing at the time and had simply overlooked a golden rule of trust. She had been crying a bit and didn't say much except for a, yes, that's exactly it, when hearing how I should always respect her boundaries and how it can erode her trust for me. I guess the theatrical winds were still in my sails because I then decided it would be a good idea to go to the fridge, grab an egg, crack it open, and pour the yolk onto my face. A ridiculous and dramatic gesture to try and convey how sorry and embarrassed I was for the mistake I had made. However, it didn't land as well as I'd hoped, as she thought I was trying to be jokey and she wasn't in the right mood for it, which I don't blame her at all, thinking about it now. Timing is everything in this business, as they say. You can't win them all. I then kissed my tearful and emotionally exhausted wife on the forehead, washed the egg off my face, physically and metaphorically, and went to bed. It wasn't the greatest save of all time that I was hoping for, but I could tell that she appreciated my intention and sincerity. Being jazzed up with the high emotions and egg beating, I simply couldn't sleep. I wondered why I took such offense to her expressing her boundary of not wanting to play along, and then not want to dig further into why her mood had shifted. She simply didn't want to talk about it, and I was willing to push past it because I wanted to know what was underneath and behind the behavior shift. However, I was also sensing a feeling of dejection in my heart, and some insecurities started popping up again. Why did her mood change toward me? Was it really just not wanting to wear the hat or that I had broken the glass? Did she have some sort of affinity towards that shot glass and she was upset? Why didn't she feel like she could venture further into what might be distressing her? Does she not feel safe enough with me to talk about what is emotionally distressing her so much? I realized in this moment I was being flooded with all the what-ifs and fears, so I decided to go back to my pocket oracle again for advice. I asked, "Hey, ChatGPT, I think it was pushing her because her unwillingness to communicate triggered fear in me. What possible fears could those be? In which it, she, he, whatever, responded, the robot responded, feeling triggered by your wife's unwillingness to communicate could stem from a variety of underlying fears. Here are some common fears that might be contributing to your reaction. And then gave me a list of 7 different possible fears, in which one specifically stuck out. Number 3, fear of the unknown. Not knowing what's bothering her can create anxiety and fear. Humans often fear what they don't understand, and a lack of communication can leave you feeling uncertain and insecure about the state of your relationship. Now, this really hit home inside of me. I know that the wounds of our past tell us about our future fears, because we don't want to replicate the pain that we had felt with them originally. In a few of my past relationships, I had instances where the truth of their thoughts and intentions were withheld, and I had been blindsided by getting broken up with or different things like that. I imagine anyone who has had experiences with lies or betrayal has to work through some trust issues. When I didn't understand why Christy's mood had shifted so much, this activated a fear of the unknown in me, unconsciously asking, what is she really hiding here? Now, we all get triggered by random things that can shift our emotional state on a dime, and most of the time, we're not even aware that anything has happened. This emotional reaction, in clinical terms, is called dysregulation. This is the activation of our fight-or-flight responses and signals parts of our body to release stress hormones, which make us feel like we're completely overwhelmed and decreases our ability to think clearly, and it also causes one to lash out and or withdraw or be overly impulsive. We all have different landmines inside of us left from our past, and it's easy for one's landmine to go off and detonate one's in the other person and become this like daisy chain of chaotic emotional fury. It was insightful for me to understand how I was triggered by her sudden shift in mood and then unwillingness for her to dig further. I realized how this behavior makes it hard on her to just simply be self-expressive, however she may be feeling. This was by far not the first time that I had perceived her mood shifts as a threat to our relationship or just being triggered by it. It's really annoying how fear creates its own reality. It's like this cyclic thing. This fear of the unknown, when it comes to my wife, comes from a deeper fear of abandonment in me. And a fear of being alone. Essentially, if I detect that something might be wrong, my unconscious mind thinks that it might be about me. However, I don't have to equate my wife's momentary shifts into that there's a problem. She, in the years that we've been together, she's never given me any reason to doubt her intentions. So thinking about this further, it led me to ask another question for our good old ChatGPT, which I asked, "Hey ChatGPT, in context to how I pushed my wife's boundaries, I think I can do this with others too. I did a lot of self-examination and elimination of fears that I had uncovered in myself and found it to be a very healing process that eased a lot of my inner pain and has given me a sense of lightness and freedom in those areas. Because I desire that same freedom for those I'm closest to, I can push them too hard or come off poorly because I may try to point out how they might not be seeing something clearly or turn their venting to me into me asking questions that go deeper into why they are seeing the situation the way they do instead of simply just validating their point of view. ChatGPT responded with the following. It's great that you've done a lot of self-examination and have found healing through addressing your fears. Your desire to help those close to you experience the same sense of freedom is admirable, but it's important to approach this with sensitivity and respect for their boundaries. Here are some strategies to consider. 1. Active listening. 2. Ask for permission. 3. Respect boundaries. 4. Balance validation with exploration. 5. Empathy and compassion. 6. Model vulnerability. 7. Different needs and timing. 8. Seek feedback. By focusing on active listening, seeking permission, blah, 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 you can support those you care about in a way that feels respectful and empathetic. This approach fosters trust and openness, making it more likely they will feel comfortable exploring deeper issues when they are ready. So when I read this, a lot of memories of times when I have done this have kind of pushed, came to the surface, realizing that I have just pushed people in different times, and it kind of sucks. It definitely sucked to realize, like, oh crap, like, I distinctly remember doing this with a good friend of mine, where he was getting really upset about something, and kind of by me continuing to dig deeper with him, it caused him to lash out towards me. And like, I really thought by pushing somebody and digging further, it would uncover the truth and be this kind of big aha moment. And I really realized that, like, that's not okay. Like, I'm actually eroding people's trust in me by not respecting their boundaries. And I think, you know, last year I did a really great men's coaching 10-week program that I got a lot out of. But a lot of the way in which they do the coaching program, it's kind of like, you know, everyone's opting into this, like, pseudo, it wasn't like a, I wouldn't say a drill sergeant at all, but there was like a, we're going to, whatever goals you make, we're going to, you know, keep you accountable to them, and we're going to push you if you give excuses and things like that. And so I realized that I had taken what I learned from that coaching program, because it was really impactful for me. I did have some of those moments where my thinking was challenged and I was pushed into some uncomfortable territory, but I came out the other side learning a lot about myself and realizing that I can just kind of what I can handle and things like that. But what I didn't see was, like, that coaching program is, one, you opt into it. Like, everyone, you know, there was a specific retreat I'm thinking about where some of this stuff happened, and it was all guys and, you know, kind of in a circle, and we're talking about different things, and everyone there has opted in to that style of kind of questioning and pushing in a loving way. It never got to, like, any sort of weird kind of authoritarian thing, but it was in a controlled environment where there are, like, professionals there. But mainly, like, my wife is, or my other friends, it's not some dude in a coaching program, you know, and realizing that context and timing and like, there needs to be different approaches to different things. You know, I should treat my wife with gentleness and kindness, as well as anybody in my life. And I just realized that I had done that, and it was really good for me to understand. And so I continued to kind of go on. And this was the first time that I had really done this kind of self-therapy question asking with ChatGPT, and it was just a really unique and insightful process. And it's something that I will continue to utilize. It's a wonderful tool for this self-reflection. So after realizing some of this, I went back and asked the following question. It's hard for me not to share with someone when I believe that I may be seeing something that will help them and thus possibly free them of fear or pain. I guess the narrative that I create in this situation is that the only reason why they don't want to go further is that they're afraid to be vulnerable with me, and I want them to know that they can be safe with me. However, when I push them, it seems to communicate the opposite when I don't respect their boundaries. And it responded with, it's clear that you have a strong desire to help others by sharing insights you believe would benefit them. This impulse often comes from a place of compassion and a genuine wish to alleviate their pain or fear. However, navigating this desire requires balancing empathy with respect for boundaries. Here are considerations, and it talks about a lot of the similar things of respecting autonomy and timing and validating feelings, permission and consent, creating a safe space, and things like that, which was very helpful. And after kind of realizing just that kind of faulty piece of my logic of that it's okay to push people in certain situations, I kind of realized, I started thinking a little bit further just about my need, that need in me to help others, like that feeling of me that it's hard for me not to share, or because there's a difference between just simply responding to what someone is saying with, you know, an observation or, hey, in my life, this is what helped me. But there's something in me that, like, really I'm realizing was, is this, like, need? I need to help others. And I don't know. I was kind of thinking of, like, is this need to help others actually useful? If I let go of that, like, need in me, will that take away me actually helping people? And so I went back and asked yet again another question that really dug further into this, I thought was really interesting. So I asked, should I let go of the notion that I need to help others? I think this is there because of my upbringing in church, where it was regularly taught to bring the good news of Jesus to those who didn't know him, however and whenever one can. This was modeled for how to be a good follower of Jesus. But I think it being this quote-unquote need in me versus it just being something that organically happens causes me to have too much of an agenda in conversations instead of active listening and being open to however the conversation unfolds. It likely will also take pressure off of me feeling like I need to say the right thing. ChatGPT immediately spits out an amazing response yet again. It's like it's a supercomputer. But anyway, it said, it's insightful to recognize that your strong desire to help others might be influenced by your upbringing and teachings from the church. While helping others is a noble goal, approaching it as an imperative can indeed create pressure and potentially hinder genuine connection. Here's some thoughts on how to navigate this. 1. Shift from quote-unquote need to opportunity. Instead of feeling a constant obligation to help, view it as an opportunity that arises naturally. This mindset shift can reduce the pressure you feel and allow you to engage more authentically in conversations. 2. Practice active listening. Focus on listening without an agenda. It involves fully concentrating, understanding, responding, and remembering what the person is saying. This approach fosters genuine connection and shows respect for the other person's experience. 3, letting go of the agenda. Release the need to steer conversations towards specific outcomes. Trust that valuable insights and support can emerge organically. This can make interactions more meaningful or induce the anxiety of needing to say, quote-unquote, the right thing. 4, empower others. Instead of feeling responsible for solving others' problems, aim to empower them to find their own solutions. Sometimes being a supportive presence and asking gentle, open-ended questions can be more helpful than offering advice or pushing for deeper exploration. Ooh, this one hits me again. You know, and I think it hits me because maybe I have this unconscious belief that people, I don't know, aren't going to figure it out for themselves, or I need to, I don't know. But that one definitely gets me a lot as well. And then 5 says, reflect on your role. Consider your role in each relationship and conversation. Recognize that sometimes the best way to help is simply to be present and supportive, rather than trying to actively fix or change someone's situation. Ooh. That one gets me. And I'm sure a lot of you married people out there, people in committed relationships, can definitely feel that. I feel like it's, and I think this is common, commonly talked about for men, you know, just trying to fix our wives' problems or our partner's problems instead of just listening and be supportive. I regularly have to remind myself of what the, like, if Christine needs to vent about her day or whatever the issue may be, like, really immediately, my brain wants so quickly to immediately fix the situation, and that usually just makes her feel really just not listened to, and that's not what she actually needs. And so it gives a 6 and 7. 6 is self-care and boundaries. Ensure that your desire to help others doesn't come at expense of your own well-being, setting healthy boundaries for yourself, and recognize when it's appropriate to step back and let others navigate their own journeys. And 7, it talks about having a spiritual practice that helps you embody principles of compassion and empathy and love. And 8, it says, embrace the unfolding. I really like that title. That's cool. Trust that meaningful connections and opportunities to help will naturally unfold. Allowing conversations and relationships to develop organically can lead to deeper and more genuine interactions. So this definitely opened a lot of things in me. You know, like I mentioned in my initial question for this specific one about how I made the connection to my upbringing in church and there being such an emphasis on bringing the good news of Jesus to other people. It really instilled this at the time that I was, I believed in that. It really, like, created this fear and this sense of urgency that I needed to be aware of any sort of opening that I could put that in there. Not that I necessarily did, because I did feel, I didn't like making people feel uncomfortable, but it was this kind of ongoing task that was running in the background of my mind. And it's been really interesting for me to really integrate and realize how much of my upbringing and my origin, my faith origin, has a lot of that has kicked back in with this newfound sense of spirituality. And you know, through psychedelics and me finding a lot of freedom from different things that I was carrying, ability to let go of different things. But it's funny how I see some of the same behavior patterns start to kick in even though I'm not, it doesn't look at all like the same thing. It's kind of operating out of the same paradigm of coming from a good place of wanting to help others, but realizing that that causes so much like constant anxiety in me. Am I doing enough? You know? And anyway, this was just a really, really big week for me, understanding these different things. And honestly, it was just a really big aha moment for me, for just realizing that I have a resource like ChatGPT. You know, I know so many people in the news talk about how AI is going to destroy the world. And, you know, I can't in any confidence say that that's not going to happen. I'd have no idea. But it is really interesting, you know, right now to see the amazing tools that we have we've had nothing like it in our entire existence. And it's just really, really cool. And so I took a walk the next day, and there was just so much stuff that I had thought about the night before. And I wanted to just go over all the things that I had learned. But I was on a walk, so I didn't want to read. So you can just ask ChatGPT to read it to you. So it was reading it to me in the headphones, and it also helps to recap what we talked about today. So win-win. But it says that, you know, we talked about how I brought up this situation. I guess it's flipping to talking to me in the you form. You brought up the situation where you were pushing your wife to talk more deeply about a topic, and she told you to stop. You wanted to dig deeper to understand what emotional trigger was happening, and you wondered if you were wrong for continuing to ask it. We talked about how respecting boundaries is crucial, and pushing someone to discuss something they're uncomfortable with can harm trust and communication. You shared that your wife's unwillingness to communicate triggered fear in you, and we explored possible fears such as fear of rejection, fear of not being heard, or fear of losing connection. We acknowledged that these fears likely stem from past experiences. We delved deeper into the idea that you sometimes push others' boundaries because you desire the same freedom from pain and fear for them that you've experienced through self-examination. You realize that while your intentions are good, pushing others can come off as disrespectful and can harm your relationships. You reflected on how you learned to help others through your upbringing in church, where bringing the quote-unquote good news was emphasized. We discussed how this might create an internal pressure to help others constantly, and how shifting from a need to an opportunity can help reduce this pressure and lead to more genuine interactions. Finally, we talked about respecting others' autonomy and boundaries, listening actively and offering support without an agenda. You recognize that letting go of the need to help all the time could lead to more authentic and pressure-free conversations, ultimately fostering better relationships. That's the summary of our conversation. I hope this helps. So, yeah, a lot of really good insights this week. And I know that that is only going to help me in further situations, especially as I have this podcast now and I plan on having lots of other guests on. But even bigger than some sort of podcast or whatever, is just, I just want to be loving in what I'm doing. And 'cause before I understood all this, like, that's what I thought I was doing. And so it does suck to when your intentions don't match the actual behavior, even though you so wholeheartedly meant it to be coming from a loving way. And that's just the beauty of, you know, this path that we're on. And yeah, I'm finding that this spiritual path, and this kind of inner work stuff, it is just, eating, kind of eating shit over and over, realizing, you know, because I mean, ultimately, that's all we can control is our own actions and how we communicate. And we can either point the finger at someone else for not, you know, taking what we said the right way, or we can take each of those moments as a learning opportunity to just become better, become a better communicator. Because ultimately, that's, you know, so many people talk about communication as everything, and it kind of is, you know. We have so many of us have just really pure hearts where we truly want to just love others and just be as caring and kind as we can. But if we can't communicate that properly, that's on us. That is this work. And anyway, I'm about to get packed up to go to a monastery and shut up for a few days. So it's very apropos that I would record a podcast and talk for a long time right before leaving. Anyway, I hope you guys get some stuff out of this, and that me sharing these things maybe hit different places in you. But anyway, until next time, have a lovely week.